I love what God's doing in your hearts. I love your yieldedness to the Lord. I love your willingness to pick yourself up after you've fallen down and jump right back into the grace of God and just say, we're doing this. Your stick-to-itiveness. I love your encouragement. I love the fact that you've decided we're doing this. We're going after the Lord. We're following him. We're seeking the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This is going to be a church that seeks the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? Come on. Are we going to do it right every time?
No.
Correct answer is no. Are we going to try to do it right every time? Yes. By faith. Yeah. Oh, yes. By faith. Yeah. The right answer is yes. Yes. By probability. No. Are you ready to jump into the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
We're on a series called God Is. I hope someone is learning something about the character of God.
Yes.
Let's rewind the tape. I don't know. You guys ever been telling a story about one of your friends to another friend that you're really excited about, and they don't know the other friend, and so you're describing them to someone? Anyone ever done that? You ever described one of your friends to someone that doesn't know them? Yep. And you're like, they're whatever. And so we use all these adjectives, right? They're so funny, or they're just, oh, they're the life of the party, or they're fun to be around, or they're so giving, or they're witty, or they're hardworking, or whatever. It's their character, right? It's what gets said about you that's the most true thing about you, people's experience of that. So what we're finding out is, all kinds of people have had all kinds of experiences with God, but what does God say about himself? We're going into the Word of God to find out what does the Word of God say about God? What is God like? If we only had the Word of God to go from, how would God describe himself to us? So we started out with God is God, right? And talked about among the polytheistic environment that they were in, that there's all these other gods, but God is God. He's Yahweh. He's the Lord. He's the God above all other gods. He's the creator God. And then we talked about the raccoon. You guys remember the raccoon? Yes. Raccoon is the Hebrew word. It's not actually right. If you're just joining us, it's not actually raccoon. It's kind of sounds like raccoon with an M at the end. Raccoon. And a little bit of cough in the middle. Raccoon. Right? And it's the family. It means we translate it compassion or mercy, but usually compassion. And it's the family of words that one of the other words in that family means womb. Womb. Like baby carrying apparatus, right? I'm going to hear about this one later. Yep. Times to know when the sermon's not going well. Yep. You get the look from your wife. That was not appropriate. But it's that source of compassion, that source of empathy that a mother has. So we talked about God's wominess, right? His ability to have empathy like a mother or a father, the Word of God says, a mother or a father would have for their children. This kind of defying all logic, longing to make it better. Right, moms? You want to make it better. You want to help your kiddos out. And God has this compassion. So this is Exodus 34, that kind of our proof text. We'll get there in just a second. And that's where we're getting these from, is God showing himself to Moses. Moses is like, I want to see your glory. I want to see the real you. I want to see the core of who you are. And God comes in front of Moses and says, Yahweh, Yahweh, the God of Rahum. And then last week we learned about Hanun, right? Hanun is gracious. The Lord is gracious. So the very first things that God tells you, if you were to meet God in a dark alley, right? You didn't know who he was, and you ran into God, what would my experience of God be according to God? He would say, I'm compassionate, and I'm chanun, which is the adjective for the Hebrew word chen, right? A lady chicken with a cough drop sliding down your throat. A chen. Not a rooster, but a hen. Chen. It's Hebrew. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know anything. I'm just going with telling what the scholars say. Right? And so that's the word for grace. So gracious and grace. And so we talked about so often in American church, we call grace unmerited favor, which it is, but it's so much more than that. It's this, it's graceful, this beauty of fluidity, of movement. A brooch or a necklace can be an object of chen, a song, a poem, a sunset. Objects of chen, objects of grace, beauty, and fluidity, and graceful motion, and kindness. We have acts of chen, and that make us gracious people. And so, just really digging into the beauty of that word. So this week, we're going on to the next one, and we're in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and on it goes. We've read that enough times. That you guys have all read that enough. Not enough. You need to keep reading it. But we're going to move on from the slide for time's sake. God today is slow to anger. Slow to anger. So the character trait of God that God is professing, he said, first of all, he said, I'm God. I'm the Lord. There's no one like me, right? Then he said, I'm compassionate. Like a mother feels compassion, like a mother for the child of her womb. I am compassionate towards you. And we find that compassion often, most often, when people either turn to the Lord or return to the Lord. In Scripture, you're going to find compassion, compassion, compassion. When, oh, we've been dumb, let's turn back to the Lord, compassion. Like, there's compassion at other times, but most often you find it when people either repent and return to the Lord or turn to the Lord. Maybe they just were terrible people or whatever, but they turned to the Lord in that moment. And you find they are met with, in the Scripture, the most often thing that you're met with when you turn to the Lord is compassion. I love that. That's our God. Guys, we're finding out about who our God is. You all have your ideas, but we're finding out from Scripture what he says about him, that he's compassionate. If you turn to me, you're going to get met with not a I told you so or why'd you have to be so dumb. You're going to get met with compassion. So why would we not want to turn to the Lord? Why would we not want to return to the Lord? When your emotions are screaming, God's never going to look at you the same again. He already knew what you were going to do before you did it. So return to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Seek his face, man. Kind of just go back to Jesus. And you're going to be met with compassion. He has a soft spot in his heart for fallible people that return to him and repent and come to him. So that was the first one. And then we're going to find this graciousness, this beauty. That's what we're going to run into. Now we find that God says that he is slow to anger. Anyone ever had a burning nose before? What? Kathy, is your nose burning? That's not a phrase that we really talk about a lot here in America. A burning nose. Today's sermon is going to be on a burning nose. Okay. Just remember, you just all kind of graciously lied and said you love your pastor. So, hey, we'll just hang with me. Anyone remember the story of a little kid named David and a really big dude named Goliath? Yep. They met on a battlefield and punched each other in the face. They did not do that. Nope. Goliath was taunting Israel, and he was mocking the name of the Lord. What was David doing at the time?
Picking up a rock.
Yep. Before that, what was he doing before that?
Shepherding.
He was actually picking up rocks while he was shepherding, right? Slinging rocks at lions and bears and tigers, oh my. And David brings, I think, cheese and food, bread, to the provisions, to the army. And David shows up. You know, there's no YouTube back then, right? There's no Facebook. So he doesn't know what's going on. He walks into this army camp, and he hears, ooh, come on, right? You know, that's at least what it looks like when the giant cucumber's doing it. VeggieTales, anyone? Okay. Something like that. And then the little asparagus comes and says... So he grabs a rock. You know the rest of the story. But we're looking at when David first shows up to camp. Okay? So he says, and Eliab, when this is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, talking about David, he burned with anger at David and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is, and you came down only to watch the battle." All right. Dear Eliab has a chip on his shoulder, okay? And I don't know if any of you have had a younger brother before and been annoyed. Probably not. But Eliab is annoyed with David for whatever reason. Certainly unjustified, but I don't know what David had done in the past. Who knows? But he's getting angry with David because David's showing up and thinking that he's going to have some part of whatever's going on. Eliab's not really privy to the conversation, but he gets mad at him. And you know what? You want to know what the Hebrew says in this section right here? I'll tell you. It says that his nose burned hot. That is a Hebrew idiom or a Hebrew metaphor for getting angry. When you're burning with anger, it says your nose, your app or appium, your app burns hot. That's how we know you're torqued off, is your nose burns hot. Yes. Yes. Anyone ever heard like hot under the collar? What are you?
Angry.
Angry. Yep. Or you're what kind of mad? You're steaming mad. Right? You get the heat, you're red-faced, right? You're either embarrassed or you're angry. But his nose burned hot. Tell me the demeanor of this creature in the picture here. What's going on? What if you didn't know anything about this and I showed you this picture, what would you tell me is going on here? Yes, El Toro is El Mado. I don't know the Spanish word for angry. But snorting out his nose, red-nosed. So the Hebrew idiom for one of the Hebrew idioms for being angry, burning with anger, is your nose burns, right? Another just in case that was too much for you, another cartoon picture is coming up right now, okay? Right? When you depict people being angry, if you can't use words, yeah. I mean, his ears burned in this one, right? The old, you know, cartoons, their face would be red and steam would come out, right? That's what's going on in this picture. And so we're going to look at the Lord in this setting here. And it's in Deuteronomy. We've got a few verses in chapter 29, a couple slides of them. And recounting this story, Moses is, and he said, because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshiped other gods and bowed down to the gods they did not know, gods he had not given them. Therefore, the Lord's anger burned. His nose burned hot, is what the Hebrew says. God's nose burned hot. All right? Against this land, so he brought on it all the curses written in this book. In furious anger and in great wrath, the Lord uprooted them from the land and thrust them into another land as it is now. The Lord's anger burned hot. His nose burned. That's what the Hebrew says. The Lord's nose burned. So, when we go to Exodus 34, the verses that we started off with, and we land on that God is slow to anger, our verses for today, the character trait that we're looking at today, the Hebrew phrase, the phrase slow to anger in Hebrew is erech appayim, okay? So appayim means nose. It's actually plural here, and it means two noses. Does God have two noses? So it's the idiom that we would translate nostrils, your two noses. Does that make sense? So we find out that God has a nose or two nostrils, right? He has nostrils. That's a pium. Eric is what? Long. God has a long nose. God has long nostrils. If you were reading this in the Hebrew, if you read Hebrew, this is what you would come across in this passage. You would find out that the Lord is walking in front of Moses, and he's saying, I'm God. I'm the creator God. I am the Lord. There's no one like me. I am compassionate, like a mother, like a mother is to a child from her womb. And I am gracious. I am chen. I am full of grace towards you. And I am long of nostrils. Interesting. So the Hebrew scholars translate Ericopayim, long of nostrils, with a Greek word meaning patient. Actually, the earliest English translations, this is from John Mark Comer, uses the word long-suffering. It does a great job of capturing the idea. Yahweh is patient and long-suffering. Long-suffering. So if to be angry means that your nose burns hot, to be slow of anger means you have a long nose. Yahweh is compassionate, gracious, and long of nostrils. So it can mean that it takes a long time for the heat to build up in his nose. It takes a lot of you being you for God to get hot-nosed towards you. He's compassionate, but he's also long suffering. He's long of nostrils. Or if I didn't say anything else today and I said, tell me what's going on right now, and I'm not going to use any words, okay? I'm not going to use any words, but you're going to have to tell me what's going on.
Looks like
right? That breath. That's usually, I'm counting in my head, 1, 2, 3, right? Does that make sense? I've got long nostrils right there. There's cause for anger, but I'm quenching it down, and I'm not expressing anger in that moment. Now, I might be giving the mom look or the dad look or whatever you want to call it or whatever, but for all practical purposes, we're talking about God being putting distance between an immediate anger and your actions. That's what's going on here. God's saying, I'm long of nostrils. My nose is long. I don't get red-nosed quickly or easily. So God is long of nostrils. But is he, though? I mean, he is because he says he is. So I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek, but our experience of the Old Testament can be tricky on its best days. Here's what happens. We've got the New Testament, where Jesus looks like kind of the latte-drinking hipster a lot of times, right? He's easygoing and he's pretty chill. At least that's the vibe we get if we're going to casually read Scripture. It's not what you get if you really dig into it and just read all the verses. If you read all the verses, but if you read your New Testament refrigerator magnet verses, Jesus is pretty chill. And you look in the Old Testament and you're like, whoa, God had really had a bad day in the Old Testament. I'm just telling you what we tend to think if we're not careful how we read things. So one of the problems, there's many problems with that. One of the problems is in our New Testament, it starts at, other than a few verses being, you know, the birth of Jesus and, you know, the life of Jesus before, like when he was 12, the bulk of the New Testament is about from when Jesus was like 30 up until like John, the Apostle John died, that maybe like AD 100. You know, like it's like 60 years at a big stretch. And that's the glass that we're looking into. And we read the Old Testament, and you read a verse, and God's in a smoting mood, okay? And I mean, there's fire and lightning and smoting happening, right? People are getting wiped off the face of the planet. And then like a couple verses later, and you're reading something, more people are getting smoted. There might be a 100 years or 500 years in between those verses. So you're getting this 3,000-year story that's condensed into a bigger but still small chunk of volume of words, right? So that's one problem is we view this Old Testament like, wow, God was really angry in Genesis and Micah. And like, wait a minute. That's like thousands of years between those two things. So that's one. But we're just sitting here in 2024, and we're just, well, I'm doing that for my devotions today. And we don't really have context for a lot of that. And then, well, let's just throw up a few verses that might give you some inkling that God has a smoting mood sometimes. So Numbers 11, 1 through 3, here's where people get ideas like this. Now the people began complaining openly. Anyone ever complained openly? Don't raise your hands in case God's in a smoting mood today. Complaining openly before the Lord about hardship. When the Lord heard, his nose burned, right? And fire from the Lord blazed among them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. That place was named Taberah because the Lord's fire had blazed among them. Let's look at another one in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 25. Therefore the Lord's nose burns, is red, is hot against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake. The dead bodies are like refuse in the streets. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Whew. I would not want to be in church on that day. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's some intense verses, but it takes some work on our part and good work on our part to read the scripture in its entirety and get a sense for who God really is. Let's look at something that maybe will help put into context this idea about God's slow to anger. Because is God fast to anger or slow to anger?
Slow.
You guys say it, but I don't think you believe it. Is God fast to anger or slow to anger?
Slow.
Okay, thank you. Because it's the word of God and it's true. That's what God says about himself. Okay, Nineveh, city of two tails. See what I did there? Should be a tale of two cities, but it's a city of two tales. Because there's two stories about Nineveh that I want you to look at. A few weeks ago, nobody really liked that joke. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. Just give a little. A few weeks ago when we were talking about compassion, we talked about the city of Nineveh, how it was so intensely evil. There's writings that they have, right, about that one king that flayed, took people's skin off them while they were still alive and wallpapered the outside of his city with their skins, right? Put a hook through a king's jaw and kept him in a cage, one of the kings that he conquered. Like just cruelty that reached the heavens. And so God looked around at who could go and tell this city to repent because their evil had become so intense that it had reached the heavens. Found a guy by the name of Jonah. Was Jonah excited about this or not so excited? Jonah was not so excited about it. In fact, he jumped on a boat and went the opposite way, and something happened. Storm, throw me over, calm sea, chomped up by a fish, stayed alive, wrote some songs in the bottom of the belly of a fish, right? Went to Nineveh, and now we're coming in at the end of the story. So goes to this wicked city, so big that it takes 3 days to walk through it. Hi. Okay. That's all right. We can pause if we need to. We find out that they hear the word of the Lord, and this whole city does what? Repents. The whole city repents. This wicked, wicked, wicked city that probably, we don't know this for sure, but probably may have killed some of Jonah's relatives even. We don't know that for sure, but in proximity, it could have very easily happened. And Jonah's there saying, got to repent because the Lord's going to destroy you. This whole city's going to be destroyed, whatever. Not happy about being there, and the whole city repents. Jonah's like, oh, I knew it. So here's where we're tuning in. We've already read this a few weeks ago, but this is one of the tales of this city. When God, this is in Jonah 3:10 through 4:2. When God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring the destruction that he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. This is a quote in Jonah of Exodus 34. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 is the most quoted verses in the Bible by the Bible. The Bible quotes Exodus 34, 6 and 7 all over the Bible. So Jonah quotes this Bible verse that he learned when he was a kid or whatever. He quotes that back to the Lord. I knew this is what you were like. And that's what this series is about, is so that when we have conversations with the Lord, we can say, I know what you're like. You've told me, and I've listened. I know what you're like. I can lean on the Lord's compassion. I can lean on your graciousness. I know what you're like, God. So this is in Jonah. This is the first time around. Fast forward the story 150 years, all right? 100 years and then another 50 years beyond that. You've got the city of Nineveh, who is backslidden at best, right? They are no longer listening to the prophets. They are no longer serving the Lord. They are no longer willing to have soft hearts and repent. That's the danger with us, church. It's the danger that our hearts get cynical. It's the danger that we get too familiar. It's the danger that we just take for granted and we go and do our own thing and we get hardened. We get hardened by hurt in our life. We get hardened by cynicism. We get hardened by wickedness out in the world. We get hardened by, well, they prayed and they didn't get healed. We get hardened by us misinterpreting things and thinking that we know better than the Lord, and our hearts get hard. So Nineveh was in a place where their hearts were now hard. 150 years later, this is Nineveh. They said, let's pray to, earlier, in a couple of verses earlier, they said, let's pray to the Lord. Maybe he'll be compassionate on us. And God was compassionate, and they repented. Now they're not repenting. Now another guy by the name of Nahum goes, and this is right at the beginning of Nahum, and the Lord is proclaiming this. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is, listen to this now, here's a quote. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. And so what we find is that the anger of the Lord his nose is long, his reactiveness is short, he doesn't react quickly, but there's a limit. And we see here with Nineveh that there was a time frame. God gave them room to repent. He's compassionate, and he's gracious, and he's slow to anger, and yet we see in this story that God finally said, you won't listen anymore. You won't listen anymore. So in response, not for God to feel better about himself, but in response to humanity, in response to hard hearts, in response to wickedness, God says, all right, then you're going to be wiped out. And it was. There was judgment of the Lord that came on that city. So we find in the beginning, we talked about this back when we were talking about God is God, that back in that day, there was a lot of cranky gods, right? There was a lot of deities that you were hoping that they didn't get off on the wrong side of the bed, right? They were hard to appease. Like some of them you even needed to sacrifice your children to. Does that make sense? The gods were not amiable, pleasant, jovial people to be around or entities to be around. The gods were conniving. They were in war with one another. They were manipulative. They were always in power grabs, and they were always, they scoffed at humanity because we were less than, and they were always cranky. Typically, I mean, this isn't every one of them, but typically the gods of that culture, the other gods, people's idea of what a god is a cranky entity that I don't want to be on the wrong side of. Make sense? God shows up, Yahweh, Moses says, I want to see your glory, and he proclaims his name, and the first three character traits he lists off is I'm compassionate, I'm gracious, I'm slow to anger. Everyone that heard that would have went, whoa, what kind of God is this? That would describe himself in such affirming terms, such benevolent terms. We're used to gods being malicious and mean and extracting something from us. And this God is self-sufficient and doesn't need, God doesn't need you to be happy. He doesn't need you for him to be happy. He's self-sufficient. Does that make sense? So he can be compassionate because he chooses to, because he doesn't need you like we do sometimes. He doesn't need you to like him for him to be in a good mood. He can choose to be compassionate. He can choose to be gracious because that's who he is. It's part of his character. And so part of his character is slow to anger. That's who he is. Let's read a couple quotes about that. John Mark Comer says, "Unlike the other gods, Yahweh doesn't have a temper. He's not volatile or edgy or spasmodic. He doesn't fly off the handle or slam the door or storm out of the house in the God version of a temper tantrum." And everyone said, "Amen. Thank you, Jesus." God is not cranky. God is not, he's not, you don't have to wonder what he's going to be like today. And that's the part of, this is the part of the message where that's the point that I'm trying to drive home. When we take our human interactions and overlay that on an eternal God, he's not just a bigger version of us. He's something altogether other. He's holy. Say holy. He's other. He's not us. He's not way more stronger than us. He's not us, but way better. No, he's something completely. We're made in his image, so there's a reflection, but he's something unlike us. He does not need us. He doesn't need something to go well for him to not have an extra caffeine today. Okay? He's self-sufficient. Everything else serves him. So he's not, you don't have to wonder what God's going to be like. Whatever God's like on Tuesday is what he's going to be like on Thursday. God is consistent. This is from the Bible Project. Is God emotional? You could say God is emotional in the sense of having deep feelings, but not emotional in the sense of being unpredictable. He's very predictable because he told us what he's like. He's compassionate. He's God. He's the Lord of all, and he's compassionate, and he's gracious. You're always going to see him being compassionate and gracious, and he's slow to anger. That's the character trait. You ever been around someone, or maybe this is just how home is, I don't know, but where you have to kind of, you know, do that? Where you just have to wonder, should I go in today? I wonder how they're feeling. I wonder if I should go say hi to them today. I wonder if Rick is going to bite my head off today or if he's in a good mood today. He's always in a good mood. Right, Robin? Fantasy's amazing. And so we get a picture of God. I wonder if I'm going to, is God going to be okay with me today? Right? And so we wonder if there's some moodiness of God that hopefully I'll roll the dice and today's going to be one of the days that I get lucky sevens. I don't even know if that's a thing, but you know what I mean? Where the dice come out on the right and God's in a good mood towards me today. God is telling you that his compassion is always there. His graciousness is always there. He is always slow to anger. Abraham Heschel, he wrote a book called The Prophets. He says that the prophets, meaning like all of the Old Testament scripture basically is what he's talking about, that the prophets never portray God's anger as something that can't be accounted for or that it's unpredictable or that it's irrational. It's never spontaneous outbursts. God never just goes, "Oh, my taxes are coming due. I'm mad at you today," right? Like he's never angry at you for some other reason that just he couldn't get his car started this morning, right? Or his eggs... His over easy egg yolks busted. I have busted more egg yolks, and I'm so gentle. And I just lay them in, and they keep breaking. I have very fragile egg yolks this week. And my heart has been sad, and I've been tempted to get aggravated, but I have not. I've been slow to anger this week. But that's not that's us. That's not the Lord. He is always slow to anger. So he doesn't have a spontaneous outburst. Always a reaction. So his anger is always a reaction occasioned by the conduct of humans motivated by a concern for right and wrong. And we'll lean into that just a little bit. The Bible Project says, anger is not a basic attribute of God. If you ask a lot of people in 2024, what is God like? Well, I don't believe in him. But if I do believe in your God, he's angry. The anger of the Lord is not a basic attribute. He's slow to anger. So if you look at all these passages, it's a responsive. Say responsive. It's a responsive pattern of God's behavior in response to evil. But Exodus 34:6 can bring it around to say that slow to anger is a core. That's a character trait of God. He's slow to anger. That's what's core to God's character. Slow to anger, which means that when he gets angry, it's measured, it's strategic, and it's for a certain reason. John Mark has a quote from another guy. I don't know who he didn't. It was in the footnotes, but I didn't get the... So someone else said this, but he said, God's wrath is his steady, unrelenting, unremitting, uncompromising antagonism to evil in all of its forms and all of its manifestations. So we get nervous talking about the anger of the Lord. We don't like that. We like talking about the love of God. Talk about the love of God, church will be full. Talk about the anger of God, you just get a few people there that think everyone else really deserves the anger of God. But it's part of who he described himself as being slow to anger. So here's a thought for you. We actually want God to get angry. I promise you, you want God to be... You want him to have the capacity. How many want to see evil thrive in your own life? Not many hands up on that one. Well, how does that evil get dealt with then? It gets dealt with by God. God gets, if you guys had a little puppy at home, let's say you're kind of a little kid, right? And you've got, your dad bought you a new puppy, okay? And you come home from school, and there's your dad standing there. Your dad, and he's a man, right? He swings an axe and lifts bales, right? He's a man. He's like Joe Anderson. He's got hair everywhere, right? That's your dad, right? He's strong. He's not weak. He's strong. And you get off the school bus, and you walk up to the house, and there's another guy, and he's like 20 years old, and he's not very strong, and he's kicking your puppy, and he's hitting it with a stick. And your dad is just standing there watching. Hey, Johnny. What would your reaction be? You'd be so sad that your puppy's getting beat. This is my new puppy. You'd be devastated. You'd be heartbroken. You'd be concerned. You'd be probably angry. And you would want, and your dad is standing right there. Now, dad's a man's man, right? He can handle himself. And this scrawny 20-year-old kid is kicking the dog. And dad's not doing anything to stop it. That's a problem. And that's what we're talking about, is the biblical root of justice, and that's what we're wanting, is justice. I want you to do to that guy what he's doing to my puppy, right? That's what we're feeling in that moment. That's called justice. And the motivator for justice is righteous anger. And that has a good place. And so we want the Lord to react again. We don't like, most of your ills, most of the struggles you have in your life is because of some form of evil. It might be that our own flesh is corrupted and there's evil in us that are causing us to make selfish decisions or whatever. Or we're confronted by evil of the world, right? When someone's getting murdered, that's evil being presented. When babies are killed, when you know, bombs go off, like, it doesn't matter. Like, whatever gross demonstration of evil you want to put out there, we want to react. We want it to stop. We're like, this is not fair. This shouldn't be happening, because we have this sense of good in us. And so this sense of good, this sense of justice is fueled by good anger. I didn't put it up on the screen, but Bible Project had a quote, every truly good person will be angry at some point, because I can't remember the verse right now, but our hearts respond with, this isn't right. This shouldn't be like this. And when we see evil, that's the God cry in us. This isn't right. This shouldn't be like this. Romans 12:17. Let's look at God's wrath, and just hold on a second. Let me get, just hold on, wait. In English, when you say anger and then you say wrath, in English now, we say anger and then there's wrath, okay? Anger would be like a boiling pot of water. Wrath would be like a volcano erupting, okay? That's in English. When you read wrath in Hebrew, it's not the same. It's kind of just another, there isn't an intensity difference. So when you read your scripture, according to most of the scholars that I've read, well, they've all said the same thing, actually, that there isn't a difference in intensity. It's just a different way of expressing anger. So when we see wrath here in this verse, it's that response to evil. So let me show you how this is a good thing. Let me show you how the wrath of God is a good thing. Romans 12, 17 through 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. It's talking to you guys. Don't repay evil for evil. All right? Someone punches you in the head, don't punch them back in the head. Don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Amen? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. The very fact that God gets angry and has wrath is the impetus. It's the energizing factor for us to turn the other cheek. Because that we know at the end of all things, God's going to make this right. God's going to take vengeance. And he avenges perfectly. God, remember back just a few minutes ago, I said God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to do well to make his day go better. For that reason, he doesn't need revenge. Does that make sense? God does not need revenge. Revenge is doing evil to someone so that I feel better. God never needs to do something so that he feels better. He's good. So if he's angry, it's in response to something, and it's for righteousness' sake. It's for the good. It's a response to people. We're going to close up here. Let's look at our anger versus God's anger. John Mark Comer says, our anger is almost always from a wounded ego. Somebody hurt us or made us feel stupid or took advantage of us. Hey, are you guys tracking with this? Any angry people in the building today? Hallelujah. Right? Isn't this true? This is so humanity here. Or made us feel stupid or took advantage of us or didn't do what we wanted. Our anger is inherently selfish, even narcissistic. Wow. It's our emotional response to something happened to me. He goes on and John Mark says, our anger is usually unjust and it's usually disproportionate to the offense. Human history is just an endless cycle of violence. He hit me, so I beat him to a pulp. He burned down my barn, so I killed his wife. That's human anger. That's human responsiveness. The natural tendency is when someone gives you a black eye, is to give them two black eyes. We say we want justice, but really we want revenge. Hold on, church. This was worth the price of admission right here. Everyone, put your peepers right here, and I'm going to read that last line again. We say we want justice, but usually we want revenge. Ugh! Let's not talk about that anymore. God's anger. Yay, let's talk about God's anger. God's anger isn't like that. The punishment fits the crime. There's a justice that we just can't match. Our anger, or at least my anger, John says, is quick to flare up. It's in a rush. It doesn't wait for the whole story to come out or give a second chance. It's impatient. Yahweh's anger is on tempo. It's patiently waiting. It builds up to the right time and place. God does get angry, but it's unusual. His baseline is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger. So maybe you're here today and you're in one of two camps. You need to hear that God is slow to anger. God does get angry. New Testament God gets angry. And you need to know that. You need to know that there's a just judge that will allow his red nose to deal with sin and evil. And we all want that. How many would love to see Satan thrown into the bottomless pit? Well, my God might have to show anger to do that. Well, I don't like the anger of God. You need to know today that God does get angry, and that's a good thing. And also that his anger throughout Scripture is a measured and appropriate response to sin and evil. So in today's world, God, the character trait right before this is gracious. He's gracious. He's grace-filled. But then the very next thing he says is, I'm slow to anger. It means I pull it back, but there is a response. If we continue to sin, if we continue to harden our heart, if we continue to not return to the Lord, if we just, hey, God's good, he loves me, there will be a response. He's slow to anger, but there is the anger of the Lord. So maybe you're in that camp today, or maybe you're in the other camp that you need to know today that God is slow to anger. Both of those are true. He's slow, he's measured, he's compassionate, he's gracious. He's not going to be in a bad mood on Tuesday because you did something on Monday. Does that make sense?
Yep.
God is measured, he's consistent, he's not fickle, he's not moody, he's not irrational.
Amen.
Like I can be to my wife. Right. But God isn't. He's consistent. Isn't that good? He's God. He's compassionate. He's Rahum. He is gracious. He's Hanun. And he's got a long nose. Aren't you glad that God has a long nose? What'd you learn in church today? God's got a long nose. Like Pinocchio? Well, kind of, but not really. It means he gets angry, but it's measured, and he's not in a bad mood, and he's not going to be in a bad mood tomorrow. But there's going to be justice, and God will, and I've got to leave room. I can be like Christ because I'm leaving room for God's anger to deal with the situation. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, I just thank you for the room that we can leave for your anger. I thank you that your anger is not fickle. It's not for no reason. And I thank you, God, that you will justly judge. God, you're gonna make things right. God, we can trust in you. Thank you that you're slow to anger. Thank you that you don't give us what we deserve, a conk on the head all the time. God, but you're so good. You're gracious to us, God. And we just pray that as we continue to learn about you, that we would reflect those character traits in our own lives. Pray for a great week for everyone in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.